Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Zvachem Daf Nundal. We are holding on in Gimel Amud Beis, five lines off the bottom. Back to the configuration of the Mizbeach and the placement of the Mizbeach, which actually was exactly on the borderline between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. Interestingly, so there was a part of the Mizbeach which was missing a Yisoid, like we learned yesterday. So the Yisoid was the foundation which encircled the bottom. It was like a protrusion, foundation which protruded from the bottom of the Mizbeach, encircling the bottom, right near the floor. But interestingly, it would only encircle part of the Mizbeach, and not the entire Mizbeach, and the question was why? The answer was because that part belonged to Shevet Yehuda, on which they couldn't build a Mizbeach. So that required them to sort of delete that portion of the Yisoid, thereby leaving the entire constructed Mizbeach on Shevet Binyamin's territory, as we'll see. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina. In fact, it was a Ritzua, a small strip of land, which was leaving, sort of protruding from Mechalkel Shel Yehuda. So, as we already surmise, Yehuda and Binyamin had their territory alongside each other. But interestingly, there was a little strip coming out of Yehuda's area, v'nechneses, inserting itself into Binyamin's territory. And that's the little strip that we're speaking about, where the Yisoid could have been built, in which case it would have been built on the Chelek of Yehuda, which was not proper. The Mashal explains, by the way. He says, what's the big deal to have? He says, each Shevet has his own unique role, his unique mission within the general, Klal Yisrael arrangement, right? So he says, Yehuda was Malch, represented kingdom, kingship, leadership, rulership. Whether it's the kings, whether it's the idea that the Sanhedrin, the grand court in Yerushalayim, in the Beis Hamikdash, would be situated in Yehuda's area as well. So they were the rulers, they set the tone. That was their job, so to speak. But not kahuna. Priesthood serving the Beis Hamikdash, that was not their role. Right? So that could not have been in their territory. The Mizbeach, which is the focal point of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the Karbonis are processed, that could not have been situated on Chelek Yehuda. So Ritzua Yitzayitzim Mechelka Shal Yehuda, there was a little strip protruding from Yehuda, Benechneses, and would insert itself, Bechelka Shal Binyamin, into Binyamin's territory. V'hoya Binyamin HaTzadik, Binyamin HaTzadik, the son of Yaakov Avinu, Mitztayr Alei B'chol Yom L'Noitlo. He foresaw in his holy vision, Ruach HaKodesh, that this will happen. That there's a part which belongs to Yehuda, where the Mizbeach is meant to be. And it was mitzitayr, he was distressed all day, constantly, night to try to take it back. He wanted that the entire Mizbeach should be on his territory. Shenemar. Chayfev olav kalayim. Chayfev, Rashi says, is a person who's mingling with us here, deep in thought, concerned. Chayfev olav kalayim. It was a constant concern. He desired to be the full host of the Mizbeach. Lefichach, as a result of this desire that was expressed, this really wanting to have Hashem, wanting to have the privilege to host Mizbeach entirely, lefichach zocha yuzeicha, he merited Binyamin wuzeicha, Binyamin atzalik, v'nasu ush bizchon HaKadosh Baruch. In fact, he became the host, the ultimate host for the Shechina of Hashem, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Arayin, which had the Luchos, representing Hashem's Shechina on the highest degree, was situated in Chelek Binyamin. You see, Chelek Binyamin came from the sort of from the west towards the east, right? So if you start on the top of the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? You have the Kodesh Maravi, the Western Wall, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal, or down to the Mizbeach, that all belong to Binyamin. Yehuda came up from the east, from the bottom, all the way up to the Mizbeach, and a little strip that should have been the Mizbeach, could have been the Mizbeach, but it turned out not to be, because they just did not build the Mizbeach on that little strip. So they converged right in the middle, right at the Mizbeach area. And because of Binyamin's really wanting to host the Shekhinah, he became the host of the Shekhinah, and the Kadesh HaKadoshim with the Arayin was situated in his territory. In fact, throughout history, wherever we had the Arayin, whether it was in the Mishkan Shilai or Noi Vegivayin, it was always in Chelek Binyamin. He became Mosh Bizchon, like Kadesh Baruch Shonema, as the Pasuk says, of being safe of Shachin. This is by Binyamin's Bracha, right? Being safe of Shachin, that the Shekhinah rested between the shoulders, meaning he was the ultimate host for the Makam HaShekhinah. But in any case, there was a little strip of territory on which the Mizbeach could have been built, which belonged to Yehuda. Turns out that it was not really built at that, you know, they left out the Yisrael, so that there would be no portion of the Mizbeach on Yehuda's territory. But technically, there was a little place which was technically the Makam HaMizbeach, on which the Mizbeach potentially could have been built, which did not belong to Binyamin. And that explains why there was no Yisoid alongside those sides of the Mizbeach. Interesting. Because of Binyamin as a tzaddik's tsar, he was zeicha to have the... Now, interesting, the question is, well, if he saw everything in Ruach HaKodesh, so he saw that he had the Kodesh HaKadoshim in his... It was already there in his vision. That's what we're saying. Because he was mitzdar, he was zeicha to get the... But it was already... What came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? He expressed his desire to host the entire Mizbeach. Because of that, although he, you know, technically couldn't change that configuration, part of it belonged to Yehuda. So, okay, they sort of bypassed that by not building the Mizbeach on that little strip. But in any case, he was zeicha to get the Ashuras HaShekhinah to be a host to the Arayin, which he already saw, which was already, either he saw everything or not. So the pshat that's given here is that, yeah, it's retroactive, meaning Hashem knew that he's going to have that desire, that he so much wanted that connection to the Shekhinah. In fact, he wanted even more than what was, you know, destined here. So because of that, he was zeicha to have... To have the schos to be the host in terms of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Orem, as it so happened. Meisvei comes a kasha. So you tell me that there was a yisoid missing around some areas of the Mizbeach, notably, again, if we take a look at the diagram on Gimel Mabez on the bottom, left bottom corner, which is Mizrach Darim, had no yisoid. Okay, now the ramp up to Mizbeach came from Darim. So if we're looking at this diagram, it would be from the left. And the Kohen would, you know, climb up. And if he had to go around the Mizbeach, he would turn to his right and walk along the walkway, which was like a little rampart, walkway built into the Mizbeach, alongside the wall, alongside the horizontal wall of the Mizbeach. It would take you all around, would encircle the entire Mizbeach. But the first corner that he would meet would be Mizrach Darim, which had no Yisoid, right? Here comes a kasha, meisvei. Oila sa'ayv keitzat ha'isanasis. How would they process a oila bird? Ha'yumaylik is reishim mul arpa. So first you clip off the head from the back of the neck. So erif is the back of the head. And the malika would take place a bit below the back of the head. Mul arpa, opposite the erif. Basically from the back of the neck. Umavlon, totally separate the head. Umatza doma kim rizbech. Then they would squish the open part of this bird on the wall of Mizbeach and have the blood trickle down. Now, this was, you know, an application, a blood application on the Mizbeach. And as we learned yesterday and in the past as well, that the blood of the oiler required placement over a yisoid. Now, this is the first corner that he meets. Rashi says, actually, it says later on that it's that corner that's missing, the Mizrach Darim corner. How could he do it there? It has no yisoid beneath him. The blood is just trickling, you know, down into just thin air. There's nothing to land on. The armor's like, hey, you say, if you tell me there's no Yisrael on that corner, he's just doing it in the air. There was a ledge coming out of the wall of the Mizbech. Although there was no Yisrael on bottom, there was a little ledge on which the blood would land. And that belonged to Shevet Binyamin, because the airspace belonged to Binyamin, the ground space to Yehuda. But the airspace, Eimar, will say, Kachisnu. That's the arrangement they made between themselves, the two Shevatim. Avira de Binyamin, the airspace belongs to Binyamin, so the ledge coming out of the Mizbeach on that corner belonged to Binyamin, so it was valid for processing carbonates. Karka de Yehuda, although the ground beneath it belonged to Yehuda. Okay, so we say there was a Yisrael missing along the Mizrach and Darim. Literally, there was no Yisrael at all? It just means to say it was inactive. It couldn't use it for processing carbonates because it wasn't technically part of Binyamin's, you know, territory. What does that mean? There was no Yisrael. Rav Amar Binyan. Literally, there was no Yisrael built. It was empty. It was an empty strip. Levi Amar Bedam. Levi says, no, of course there was a Yisrael there. A physical Yisrael, yeah. It just wasn't suitable for blood applications. It wasn't part of the active Mizbeach. Where are they coming from? Rav Metargim. Rav interpreted the words in Parshas Vayechi. Where Yaakov Avinu gave the brachos, Binyamin ze'ev yitraf, like a wolf that devours the mizbeach, consumes karbanos. So he learned, Metargim, he translated, Bachsante in his territory, Yizbenei Madbucha. Madbucha is the mizbeach, right? The Dalad and the Zayin are interchangeable. So in his territory, the mizbeach will be built, only if it's Binyamin. Otherwise, you can't build. So you have to leave out that piece of the Yisoid, which was technically situated over, you know, Yehuda's territory. So according to Rav, there was no Yisrael at all along those walls. Levi Metargim, however, Levi interpreted it differently. Achsante in his territory, in Binyamin's territory, Yizbenei Magdisha, the Migdash will be built. Malkim Mekudash Ladamim, place which is sanctified for processing of blood. So the physical Yisrael, you could have built. So you have a complete, you know, square. You don't have to make an uneven Yisoid. But that portion, the portion which was situated above Yehuda's land, was not Mekudosh Dom, wasn't suitable for blood application. It wasn't part of the active Mizbeach. Okay, so according to Levi, of course, the Yisoid went all around. So you had a sort of, you're looking down at the Mizbeach, again, looking down at that diagram, on the Gimel Beis on the bottom, that diagram is in line with Rav's opinion, that the actual Yisoid was deleted on these sides. So you have an uneven, you know, square on the bottom. Right? The square, theoretically, is a 32 by 32 Amma square, as we're going to see later. The grand square, if it's a perfect square, would be 32 by 32, but they would have to delete, come in and out, and cut away from that square. So yeah, I mean, actually, if you look at the extreme elements of that square, if you look at the start from the corner of Marav Durham, where there is a little bit of Yisoid, and you start from that far end, take it over to the right, the far end on the right where there was Yisoid, Tzaf and Marav, you would have 32 Amas. Likewise, if you go from Marav Tzaf and corner all the way to Tzaf and Mizrach, where you have that Yisoid as well, you can get 32, but on the other side, you were missing an Amma, which made it less than 32. So according to Rav, that's how it was. According to Levi, no, it was a perfect 32 by 32 square, because Yisoid really encircled the entire Mizbeach properly. It's just that long Darim and Mizrach, which belonged to Yehuda, they didn't actively use it for karbanis. Tashma, it comes a raya, which appears to support Levi's opinion, that in fact, it supports Rav's opinion, that in fact, the Yisrael was configured the way we have it in this diagram. It was only along Tzafan and Marav, and also, you know, it wrapped around the corner for a bit, just an Amma, and that's it. But did not actually encircle the entire Mizbeach. Tashma, Yisoid ha Yimhalach al Pnikal HaTzofen, al Pnikal HaMarav, the Yisoid ran alongside Tzofen and Marav entirely, and would come around the corners as well, Eichel B'Dorim Amma Achas, it would cover an Amma at the corner of Dorim Marav, but Mizrach Amma Achas, likewise, it would come around an Amma at the Mizrach Tzofen, a corner. Clearly, it ended there, that's like Rav. Unlike Levi, who who assumed that it just continued all around. No, it says, why oichel nami b'dam? The Braisa speaks about being oichel, consuming, meaning covering. It just means to say, in terms of the active portion of the site, which was suitable for blood applications, so it ended there. But in terms of the physical presence of the site, it enwrapped the entire encirclement. Toshmai comes another riot. Mizbech ha'yush leishim ushtayim ushleishim ushtayim. So the Mizbech's grand square was 32 by 32 amma. Seemingly, a proper square all around. Nothing missing. That's a riot to the other shita, to Levi. Ha'chena my skin matzat. Well, even according to Rav, it works. Because at some points, as we pointed out earlier, at some points we do have 32. And that's what the Braisa meant, 32 by 32. If you look at the far sides where there was actually a site all around, so you can get to 32. Right? If you measure from Ma'arav Dorim, where you had a site, over to Ma'arav Tzafon, you have 32. Likewise, Ma'arav Tzafon to Mizruch Tzafon, you also have 32. So in terms of visualizing sort of a virtual square, right, you have where to start from. You have 32 in some areas. So it's like a virtual 32 by 32 square, although you sort of have to shave off a little bit on the other sides. Toshmai comes another raya, where it seems that in fact there was a yesod all around. See, the Mishnah there is speaking about the grand total. How big were the Mizbeach and Kevesh side by side? So the Mizbeach itself, as we said, is 32 Amma. By 32 Amma. And the Kevesh, the ramp itself, was also 32 Amma long. Now, if you put them side by side, you would think 32 plus 32 gets you 64. Not so. Mishnah says it was only 62. Where did the two Ammas go? Rice explains very simply, because two Amas were overlapping. How? So again, let's take a look at that Mizbeach diagram. So you have, let's start from Tzafon wall, start from the Yisoid. The Yisoid itself was an Amma wide. Then you have that next section. That was actually the Soiviv. That was the walkway around the along the wall of the Mizbeach. That was also an Amma wide. So you have two Ammas there. The actual top of the Mizbeach is 28. Then, that gets you to 30. Then you have another Amma of the walkway on the Dorim side. And then, theoretically, another Amma of Yisoid, whether it was there or not, but that Amma was sort of earmarked for the Yisoid. Get you another two there, so that's 32. Now, those last two Amas on Dorim were actually covered by the Kevesh. So the Kevesh would run up to the Mizbeach and actually converge on the Mizbeach, meet up with the Mizbeach. So it would sort of cover, it's like a bridge. It was like sort of, it was a solid bridge, but it was a ramp that covered the two Amas we just, pointed to on the Dharam side. It would cover them. It would take you straight to the top surface of the Mizbeach. So, technically, those two Amas were covered now by the Kevesh. So they were overlapped. You can't count them twice. Either you can credit them to the Mizbeach or credit them to the Kevesh. You can't count them twice because they were sort of covered over. They were overlapped. That explains where the two missing Amas went. For a total of just 62 between Kevesh and Mizbeach. Tashma nimtza perech amal yisoid v'amal soiviv, because the Kevesh was perech, it flew over, it covered, it overlapped over the amav yisoid coming out of the Dorim side and amav the soiviv, the walkway. Hold it. Dorim had a yisoid. Why are you speaking about covering yisoid? There's no yisoid at all, according to Rav, on the Dorim side. Ema keneged ami yisoid. It means to say, the potential Amma, where there could have been a Yisoid. That Amma was covered by the Kevesh. Practically, physically, there was no Yisoid there. But it's just a term, it's just an expression. It covered that Amma. So that Amma cannot be counted twice. As part of the Mizbech, as part of the Kevesh. And also, while Amma Soiviv, it covered the actual Amma of the Soiviv, which is sort of buried in the Kevesh. which covered it. Toshmai comes another raya, where it seems that in fact the side of the Mizbech was constructed as a perfect square with nothing missing. Toshma, the Tony Levi, Kate Burn Mizbech, how do they build the Mizbech? Maybe in Malbin, they bring this form. 32 by 32. They make foundations today, like a, you know, like a wooden form with a perfect square, 32 by 32. An Amma high, to form the side, which was an Amma high and an Amma, you know, wide. Umevi chaluki avanim, they would fill it with construction material, chaluki avanim mefolame, smooth, you know, river, so moist rocks, so that you didn't have to chip it and cut it, it would be smooth and whole. Big deals, big tannis, whether large or small, fill it up with stones. Maybe sid, bring this like a lime or cement, vikunya. Rashi says that's nituach aver, molten lead, zephis and tar. Umachi would mix it with water, v'shoifich, pour it in there. And wait for it to harden. Vizo, makam yisoid, that's the yisoid. Okay, so you've just constructed the first layer of the mizbeach. And then you would build yourself up. So you would now form the next section. You would invert an am on either side, that was the top of the yisoid, and start building further. V'chayzer maybe mavan shushleishim amma shushim amma. Now you bring another form, which is one amma shorter on either side, so it's a 30 by 30 square. V'goy v'chamish amas, five amas high, to construct the next section of the mizbeach, to get you up to the ramp. V'may v'chluki avon v'chulu, fill it up with construction material, etc. etc. V'choyzer maybe malvashim chavches al chavches amas. Now, once you finish with that five amas section, again, you leave space for the walkway, which is an amma wide. You come in, and you move up again. Put in another form, which is now missing, one amma on either side, so it went down from 30 to 30 to 20 to 28. And the goy v'gimel amas, three amas high, that's the last and final section, which gets you to the top of the mizbech. Maybe chalukei avonim, fill it up with material, etc. V'makam amracha, now you've constructed the top, you've gotten to the top surface of the mizbech where they burn the karbanis. We still have to have the actual protrusion, the corners, for the, right, the damal lachatas. V'choyzer maybe malvin shun amal amma, each one was an amma and amma wide. So you bring another little form, an amma square. Or maybe you have one filament, fill it up with stones, maybe those mantanas, maybe zevas, maybe magma shevich, vizeo keren, and you got yourself your corners. Vichain, the chukeren, the keren, likewise, regarding all the you know, four corners. Let's get back to the first segment, the bottom segment, which was clearly described as a 32 by 32 amma perfect square, nothing missing. That's a riot to Laban. In fact, it was a yisoid all around. Perhaps we have to actually saw it off. So initially it was constructed as one perfect square, then they used to cut it off for some reason. The guys, look, you can't do that. You can't cut anything in the Mizbeach. Mizbeach has to be perfectly whole. The guys, Avanu Shleimus, Pasuk describes that full, complete, whole stones. How do you get around this? The answer is like this. The Mochas Midi Mutuse V'Shakali. No, the mission never meant you actually construct a segment of 32 by 32 solid. It means to say that the initial form was 32 by 32. For some reason it was, you know, just more convenient, it would be more accurate if it's done that way. And then, once you have that form on the floor, before you fill it with construction material, you sort of block the areas that you don't want constructed. So the areas where you don't want that yisoid, you would fill it up with, I don't know, styrofoam or something, or wood, and you would block it from being filled, and you would sort of create this artificial, you know, this like space in there, that it remains empty, and then when they fill the rest, the resulting product would be a yisoid configured exactly as per your design, exactly as described in that diagram on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. So again, you start with a perfect square, 32 by 32 all around, but then you put blockage material, right? And you sort of put it like another piece of wood, a form, you know, an amma in, to hold the material in place where you want it to be, leaving the areas that you don't want, you're leaving them empty. the machas midib to say you put something, you know, inside there, b'shakal, and then you remove it when things harden. Deal tell me hachi, because you don't agree with me. This is a system that was employed. How do you get the kronis on top properly constructed? They're meant to be hollow. The, you know, the corners on top. Hadam Rav Kana kind of tells us avanim shel kronis chalus, the stones at the corners were hollow. Meaning to say that the kronis on top were actually meant to have spaces inside, but they were filled with material and then they became solid. How'd you get hollow spaces? How do we know it has to be solid? Hollow d'chsev malu ki mizrak. Mizrak is a container, so the corners of mizrak have to be containers, but they're solid, rock solid. Apparently, the Torah says it has to be whole stones. You can't just saw and drill holes. Ella must be that you filled it with styrofoam or splinters of little wood, whatever, and you sort of created those gaps, and then you pulled them out. When everything dried up, al damachis means to save a shakal. You put something in there, beneath the concrete, and you pull it out later. Achanam here as well regarding the missing part of the yisoid, although technically it was included in the frame, but you fill it up with other material, and then you pull it out when the time comes, leaving an empty space. Achanam damachis means to save a shakal. Okay, back to the story regarding, the precise placement of the Mizbeach and the location of the Beis HaMikdash. How did this all come about? Dorash Rava. Ma'idach Siv, what does the Pasuk mean? Vayelech David Shmuel, Vayeshvu B'Noyois. So David Shmuel went to a place called Noyois, B'Rama in Rama. Now, these are two separate locations. What's the connection? V'chima, Inyan, Noyois. Why do we mention Noyois, which was one location? It's a Rama, as though it's, connected to Rama, which is a different place. Ella, the answer is like this. It's describing an event. Shal Yeshim b'Rama, they were sitting in a place called Rama, which actually was Shmuel Hanavi's place. He lived in Rama's. Or Rama. Yeshim b'Rama. V'oiskim b'noye shel oylam, and they were involved in trying to investigate, try to figure out where to locate the Beis HaMikdash. Right, this was before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Noye Shalem, where's the beauty of the world? Where's it meant to be located? They had no clear directive on that. So they had to figure it out using various clues, based on the Pesukim. Amri, they figured like the Ksiv. So firstly, the Pesuk describes the Beis HaMikdash as being the high point, topographically, right? It was the highest point in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. Amri, Ksiv, it says, V'kam tov alisa al-makam, go up, travel up to the Makam, to the Beis HaMikdash. So firstly, we know, we have a clue in terms of the Beis HaMikdash being the highest point of Eretz Yisrael. Malamed, we learn, Shabbos HaMikdash, Gavoya, Mekol Eretz Yisrael. And actually, Eretz Yisrael is also Gavoya, is highest, the high point of all the other lands, Mekol HaRatzis. Rashi says, actually, that's not learned from this pasuk, that's learned from a different pasuk, where it says, in Yirmi Hashem has taken us up. In the future, it will be said that Hashem will have has gathered us from all the lands and taken us up there to Israel. So Israel is a high point. Once asked my Zayd of Shlomo Rottenberg, that's all. I mean, in terms of, today we measure everything in terms of sea level. Israel isn't the highest. Right? We have Mount Everest, we have other places which are, see, said, yeah, because so it's all about how you start the ball, right? Earth is a ball. You can start any way you want. Right? And wherever you start, that's the highest point. It's as well as the focal point. That's the source of existence. That's the highest place in the world. Okay, in any case, so in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, we have a pasuk that topographically, okay, physically, it's meant to be the highest place in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that gives us a clue. But still, how do we know what's the highest? They had no way to measure into. They didn't know exactly where it is. I used to say, Yeshua, what do you do when you're in trouble, when you don't... you take out a sefer, Sefer Yeshua. So they went through the various descriptions of the various territories of all the Shvatim, and they noticed something interesting. Regarding all the other Shvatim, it says, Vayered, Yorad, Allah, Agvul, Vatar, Agvul, all different types of descriptions. Yored means it went down towards the sea. Vala means it went up. Vatar means it just extended on the same level. V'shevet Binyamin, however, when it comes to Shevet Binyamin, in terms of where he converged, where he met Shevet Yehuda, v'alaksiv, v'yardaksiv, all it says is it went up, 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 up. It doesn't say it went down. So as Rashi explains, let's visualize it, just draw from south to north, right? So we have Yam HaMelech to the east, Mediterranean to the west, Yam HaGolda to the west. So traveling up. So let's start from Shevet Yehuda, which was to the south. Right? To the south, traveling up to the north. Shevet Yehuda would meet up with Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin was to the north of Shevet Yehuda, and they would, you know, they would share a boundary. Now, when the Gemara says Bekulu Ksiv V'Yorad V'Ola V'Tar, it means that if Yam HaMelech is to the right, Yam HaGadol is to the left, and Yerushalayim is in the center. So if you look at the descriptive terms describing the topography of the Shvatim to the north of Shevet Yehuda, past Yerushalayim, from Yerushalayim towards the Mediterranean, we have going downward, the Yorad. It speaks about going down. It makes sense because it's going towards the sea. But on the right of Yerushalayim, from Yam HaMelech to Yerushalayim, in terms of how Shevet Binyamin met up with Shevet Yehuda, so describing the boundary of Shevet Binyamin and the area that he passes as he is sort of converging with Shevet Yehuda from Yam HaMelech up to Yerushalayim, all it says is it went up, 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 up. So apparently the high point is Yerushalayim, right? Starting from Yam HaMelech below, up, 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 towards the west, alongside, right? It's on the boundary of Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda, up, 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 to Yerushalayim. Rashi says, actually, it even says it went further up to something called Gei Ben Hinnom, which was the mountain right next to Yerushalayim, which is actually higher than Yerushalayim. We'll see in a minute why they decided to sort of go down. We'll see. But in any case, clearly Yerushalayim and that area is the high point of Eretz Yisrael. So again, they took out a sefer, Yeshua, Bekuluk Siv, V'yora, some take out the word V'ala, Hagvul, V'tor Hagvul. So regarding the territory past Yerushalayim down to the sea, describes that going down. However, regarding the topography, description of topography going from the Yam HaMelech up to Yerushalayim, it's all going up. It's uphill. B'Shevet Binyamin, where he met up with to the north of Shevet Yehuda, he just went up, up, up to Yerushalayim. It doesn't say he went down. They figured, okay. Apparently Yerushalayim is the high point. That's where we build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as he explained, there was a hill higher than Yerushalayim. And they figured, let's build it there. They figured, let's build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itam, which is even higher than Yerushalayim. The Madli, which is higher. Army, they say, no. Let's lower the drop. The Chesiv, as the Pasuk says, being safe of Shach. The Shekhinah will rest on his shoulders, not on the head, which is higher, the shoulders. So let's bring it down a bit. That's the way it's meant to be. Levi Yisemer, another reason why they avoided Ein Itam, which actually was higher than Yerushalayim. Gemir, they had a Kabbalah, they had a tradition from the early generations, from Shmuel, from David, right? The Sanhedrin, Bechelkoi, Shel Yehuda. That the Sanhedrin, the high court and the ultimate supreme court in Yerushalayim, the disseminator of Torah to the entire Klal Yisrael, the ultimate authority, was meant to be stationed in the territory of Yehuda. Why? Because it says Yehuda is going to be the Rashi says mechokek bein raglav. They're going to be the lawmakers. They're going to be setting the tone and establishing and disseminating Torah. So the highest Sanhedrin, highest court, is meant to be sitting in Shevet Yehuda. The Sanhedrin is Bechelk Yehuda, Ushchina Bechelk Binyamin, and the Shchina with the Aaron and the Kohen is meant to be in Chelk Binyamin. So that preempts any option of building the Mikdash in Ein Itam. because that was in Shevet Yehuda's territory. And Binyamin was too far away for them to sort of merge together in one Beis HaMikdash. Right, the way it was now, Beis HaMikdash was situated right on the boundary. So part of it was in Shevet Yehuda, part of it was in Binyamin. Right? Sanhedrin was in Yehuda, and the Azara, which was part of Yehuda, and the Mizbeach going up to the west, including Kadesh HaKadoshim, wasn't Shevet Binyamin. But if you put it on a different mountain, you're not going to have that proximity, you're not going to have that arrangement. It's too far from Shevet Yehuda, from Shevet Binyamin. If you're going to lift it over to the higher mountain, which is Shevet Yehuda, further away from Shevet Binyamin, Mispalak Tuba, you have distanced yourself too far from Shevet Binyamin, you couldn't make this configuration. Mutav Dinisei Purta, better to lower it or drop and get it to an area which is right next to Shevet Binyamin. This way, you can configure it properly. Chsiv, as the pasuk in fact says, Ben Ksefef Shachin, on the shoulders rather than on the head. So this was David HaMelech's discovery with Shmuel HaNavi. On account of this discovery, the schus of having discovered and pinpointed the exact location of the Shechina and acting upon it, Doig Hadami became jealous of David HaMelech. In fact, he badmouthed him to Shaul and caused a tragedy with the killing of the Noiv and for supporting David. The pasuk says, "Kinas beis chachalosni." David HaMelech speaks about the jealousy generated by him putting in the effort to establish the precise location of the Beis Chav, the Beis Hashem, achas lasin, that consumed me, that generated opposition, uksiv. In fact, the pasuk says that David HaMelech took it to heart. This was his life prior, life mission. Zecher Hashem leDavid, it's called Noisa Hashem. Remember all my efforts, recall all my hardships. Asher nishbal Hashem, that I promised to Hashem, ovid bo'il beisi. Before I come to my own place, before I rest my eyes and close them, even sleep or rest, I'm not going to do that until I figure out, until I find a location for the Shechina, which alludes to both Shvatim. It was discovered to have been placed to belong the place of Ephrasim. They are, what is that? Ephrasim is a Yeshua, the Chasim Ephraim. Ephrasim means Shevet Ephraim, which is the territory of Yeshua. So this was on account of their being assisted by the Sefer Yeshua, as we described. But so Nobis Deyar, we discovered in this Deyar is a Binyamin. So, as we explained, the Shechina was situated in Shevet Binyamin's place. Binyamin, like a wolf, devours and hunts. And that is what he meant when he said, B'nitzanob is deyar. The territory of Binyamin, which is reminiscent of an animal in the forest, in the yar. And that's how they knew. They knew that. So this pasuk describes the process and how, in fact, it ended up being situated right alongside the convergence of Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, in order to facilitate the proper placement of the Sanhedrin in Malkum of Yehuda, as the pasuk says, "Mochekik Bein Raglav." Sanhedrin belongs in Shevet Yehuda, and the actual Mizbeach, the Malkum of the Akrava, the Mokum HaShechina, was in Shevet Binyamin's territory. In fact, he was Mitztayer. Why was he Mitztayer? Because, as we explained, part of Yehuda's territory actually converged onto the Mizbeach area, and that's why they had to leave that part of the site out, either leave it out physically or in terms of usage. And he was Zeicha, Binyamin HaTzadik was Zeicha, to have the Shechina situated in his place. Okay, so again regarding the site itself, according to one sheet, it actually was all around, but they didn't use the part that was on Shevet Yehuda's place. According to Rav, there was no site on that area at all. We had several rayas, brises, and missions which were answered, according to both sheetes, and we described the process in which David HaMelech invested great effort and sacrifice with Shmuel HaNavi to figure out, to pinpoint the location of the Beis HaMikdash, which was built eventually by his son, Shlomo HaMelech. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.